What is going on, everybody, and welcome to the first inaugural, the maiden voyage, if you will, of the Metal Massacre. I am one of your hosts, Dustin Peters, since we're going to get used to listening to me. And with me, of course, co-host in crime, Lucian Colesheen. What's going on,
man? You make me sound like the Joker.
Well,
yes. Hello, Lucian, the weirdo with a beardo here. Happy to get this started. We've been talking about this project for a while, and I know me and you have been kind of looking for another type of show to do. We do other podcasts together, but a metal show, man,
right up our alley.
This is going to be fucking brutal.
Long time coming for sure. First of all, big shout out, thank you to Herd At Media for putting us together and allowing us to have this creative vision that really, they believed in us.
Because
it's candidly, again, a spot that you're involved with. You do a lot of production for them. And when you pitched this idea to them and kind of brought me in, they were nothing but welcoming, and everybody was really nice at the office. So again, and thank you to everybody that built us the logos. I just wanted to get it out of the top saying, hey, thanks so much for believing in us, and we're going to do the best we can with this. But this podcast and this trailer episode is just to kind of break the ice here on who we are, so you can get used to us, but then also, you know, what we're into, what you can kind of expect, and just giving a quick glimpse into sort of the format that we're going to be doing over this. Just wanted to give a taste.
Oh, but we have so many tasty bits coming up for all you metalheads, whether you're into death metal, black metal, even more hardcore. It doesn't matter if it's heavy, if it's got a breakdown, if there's a wailing guitar solo, we're probably going to talk about it.
Absolutely.
And we do have a couple really, really good interviews lined up for season one already. Bands you may not know, bands you may know, one you're definitely going to know, and one I think you need to hear from. So stay with us on this journey down pretty much every path of metal you could ever imagine.
Right.
And we'll also be filling you in on what's going on in the local Omaha scene. You know, shows that are coming up, things we think you should go to, our shows that are coming up. We'll let you know if you want to come jam with us. This is going to be an all-out massacre for all metalheads that just want a little bit more.
Right. And also to get into, like, again, it sounds gatekeepy when you say the culture of metal.
But there is a culture.
Right?
Sure, it can to some, but to those people, I say, hey, just chill out. This is going to be fun.
Some video games are metal as fuck. Some, there's movies, there's TV shows, there's all sorts of things that encompass more than just the metal music. There's things that I think that a lot of us that are in this sphere really enjoy.
I'm glad you say that, because it's not just going to be music. I mean, there's metal movies. Like, I can think of like five movies right now that are about heavy metal or death metal.
True.
That are maybe documentaries to cartoons to comedy horror films. Like, metal has kind of seeped itself into the culture just throughout time.
That's like, definitely a fact.
As we're talking about this, I'm thinking of things I want to keep bringing up, like different movies and albums and artists. And I'm just like, dude, I can't wait to dive deeper into this and just show people like what we love about metal.
So to get it off the top here, essentially, like I said, we'll do some news articles. We'll give you some current events, but honestly, we're not like a weekly thing like that. So it doesn't, you know, we want it to be evergreen, like you said a few times. So if we do bring up stories, we do bring up news or anything within that kind of area, it'll usually be, like I said, evergreen, to use the term again, where we just want to have a conversation with people and really just dig into what it what it means to be metal, and a lot of retrospective stuff, looking out through the years of our favorite stuff.
And I think that's a good way to put it, as when you're talking about evergreen, it's like we will still talk about topical things that are going on in the community, but I'm not gonna like just go out and talk, well, this band's having drama because one of their no, this is not the, you know, that kind of thing. We'll talk about things as they happen if we feel like they're culturally relevant to, like,
sure,
the broad stream of metal. Like, there are certain things that do happen that are kind of like, this is monumental, and there's going to be life before this and life after
this.
There's
a turnkey point to those kind of things.
Yeah, and I feel like this is the place for those kinds of discussions. And where is the industry going? Where is the scene going? It's changed so much since we were younger, because me and you were in a band straight out of high school.
Yeah, I guess we should get into kind of who the hell we are and why we're doing this.
We should.
Like, what makes you so special? No, but fuck, I've known this guy. We went to high school together, and we, like you said, we had a band in high school together. Shout out. Well, it was Goya.
Yeah, and then we renamed it to Brimley,
which was
just kind of tossing fun at the Wilford Brimley memes of the day.
If you're as old as we are, I'm sure you remember that fella.
We were goofballs.
It's high school.
Yeah,
you know?
we were young and stupid and getting into trouble and playing metal music as young, stupid 18 to 19 year olds were.
And
it was fun, man. We had a lot of good times. We opened for some pretty big bands.
We had a pretty good track record.
Yeah.
And what was honestly a lot of fun was that every one of us, even now, I mean, I guess, and I'm never pointing it out, but the only person, because Elliot's been busy, Elliot's like the only person I really haven't heard from in like the past few years, but life goes on. And I mean, yeah, our both of our old drummers, our singers.
Most of us have really still hung out and kept in touch.
And played in other bands and kept things going. And yeah, I mean, like, one of our guy that was our drummer, he learned how to play drums because we told him, hey man, we need a drummer and you obviously want to be in a band, figure the fuck out.
Well, and he was big and sometimes angry, and we're like, you'd be good at drums. Like,
you'd be awesome
beat the hell out of these drums. But yeah, it was fun. We were learning a lot. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing, and I think that was where we kind of all decided we wanted to really start playing music, but we didn't know with who and how and what was going on. And we were all so young, so there was dumb drama and like people getting into fights and just stupid. But I didn't play music until like,
I'm trying to think, because you had a couple bands before that, but it was,
they were just like, it was me and friends getting together. It never evolved into an actual show or a band.
No.
But until I joined your band, Molten, I hadn't played music for like 11 years or something like that.
But we knew, and we'll get to the future as we go along.
But like that's how me and you kind of met. It was like way back when in high school, and then a couple years later we started a band, and we've just kind of kept in touch ever since. You know, like hanging out, playing video games, still being dumbasses.
Yeah.
But now we're both married, so both of our wives are just like,
can you let it? No, I'm actually going to make a podcast about it. Like, we're not going fucking anywhere. But so for me personally, just to kind of give a little background, my credentials. Why should you listen to me? I'm selling myself. No, like I said, like my first band, I was 15. And honestly, for those of you that are like, cool, metal stuff, but does it encompass? Yeah, like I'm a huge hardcore fan.
Yeah.
I love East Coast skate punk, beat down hardcore. And honestly, for the longest time until really I started hanging with those guys in Brimley a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't really listen to like Suicide Silence or Whitechapel or any of those other bands around that era of time.
Yeah, I feel like that got you into it because you're into such different music. Like I walk into your house and you're listening to Revolution live at Red Rocks, just like, hey man,
what's going on?
Let's have a beer. I'm just like, damn it, Dusty.
Like this isn't what I'm doing today, man.
Your musical taste is so out there, but it's such a wide spectrum.
The thing I've listened to most lately is just going through the Tekken 8 like radio.
Yeah, I bet.
Listen to like weird jazz or Japanese metal. having fun, bro.
Oh, that's funny that you say that because later on I wanted to bring up this Japanese metal band.
Oh yeah, well,
that I was just like, dear Lord, bye. But we'll talk about it as we obviously get into the show. But yeah, that was your kind of first indoctrination into like deathcore, death metal, doom, sludge, all the slow, crazy, like heavy, just like what the fuck,
right?
Shit.
And to be fair,
pardon our Frenches, but we're metal dudes. Sorry, we're gonna cuss a little bit.
We're gonna have some F's.
Yeah,
we'll be nice, maybe. But you know, I guess really though, as a lot of things where you grow up, it's, you know, people tell you your formidable years, like you're essentially like you're, you know, 13 to 20 is really where, as you get older, you mature and you change, but a lot of your tastes start there.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm lucky enough, even now in our band Molten, my dad is our guitar player.
Yeah, one of them.
And he's always my dad doesn't listen to anything but metal. Like, really, he doesn't. He's 61-year-old man now, but he's got so many stories of, you know, like meeting Metallica and meeting Pantera, hanging out with Dimebag Darrell, like. So growing up in that ecosphere, it's always been there for me. I'm honestly like a huge, when I was a kid, besides like obviously getting into the hardcore stuff and the skate stuff, I've always been a huge hip hop head. Hip hop is probably, if I had to like, yo, what do you know the most about? This should be a hip hop podcast. But, but I do, like I said, think that a lot of your formidable years again are, they've stuck with me so much that for a while after Brimley stopped, Because I had two bands before that that actually got some pretty notable stuff, but it was still, you know, playing house shows. It's young, it's young bands, or people are on tour, like other, you know, like 20 somethings living in a van playing house shows just to make ends meet before their next big gig. We played a lot of those. People like Death Before Dishonor, Swamp Thing, Naysayer, Brace War, Oh, wait, we ended up playing with Oceana, which was cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Which
that was our biggest show.
Yeah, hands down. It was last show and biggest show. We made it up. But for me, like I said, then I actually took a little bit of a hiatus. It was college era time. I was just really busy. I was getting into my career. I just didn't play music for a little while, but always was still listening to really heavy shit. And then kind of got dragged back in. Right around
2016.
How has it been 8 years of this shit already, man? Dude. Because 8 years ago, I would have been, I'd have been 24 when I first started playing in Moulton, and like just now, and it goes to show you that we've been road dogging it. We've been all over the Midwest. We've been, Moulton's had well over 100 shows under our belt minimum.
Yeah.
And so now, being as where we are when we're playing with bands like Exodus and we're playing big sold out venues, like 1,000 people, it does go to show you that it's like growing taller. You don't notice it until it's in front of you. You're like, oh shit. Yeah, we've encompassed a lot of time, and to be able to get to where we are now, and even to be able to feel confident enough to do a metal podcast.
Yeah.
It's been a long road, but I'm
stoked. metal is one of those things that kind of fused our friendship together. Like we got into a lot of the same stuff. Like I remember introducing our band back then to Lamb of God and everyone being like, "What is this?" And I'm just like, "Wait for it. It's coming."
Like, it's pretty sick.
Or like Walk With Me in Hell, or like any of the stuff off the Sacrament album, or Ashes of the Wake. Like it was just crazy back then. But
who was your favorite band back in that day? Would it be easy to say Lamb of God? Probably, because I'm thinking like
again, metal band.
Yeah, back when we were like first meeting each other and first starting there around like 18 years old.
I'd say that's pretty fair. I don't think there was any other band that I knew all the lyrics to.
Yeah.
And like knew like every little intricate detail of their songs. Like I would go back and listen to it and then focus on different parts of it.
Sure.
To remember the whole thing. And I could still like half the Ashes of the Wake album I could play in my head, like in full, and like listen to it at my desk at work if I wanted to without listening to it. Because I just remember it that well.
Yeah. But our other buddy Nolan was a huge, huge Lamb of God.
Yeah,
guy
I got
well.
Him into it, and I remember him just like freaking out listening to it in the car and being like, This is like the best guitar work I've ever heard. And I'm like, yeah, I know. They're real good. like it's insane how good they are. And now I went back, a little side note tangent here, but I found the Burn the Priest stuff. That's their old band. They used to be called that. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, let's change it to something that's kind of ironically not that.
Right. And, God.
Yeah. And it's still, they came out with an album in 2018 under that name.
They did.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. And I want to talk about it because it's straight up thrash. So that, put that on the docket for season one.
Yeah, let's get into some
somewhere
the
in
shit.
These episodes, we will talk about that because I think it's something that I did not expect. And I like when bands do that. They're mm-hmm. like, listen, we're not this band anymore. That does exist online, but we're going to make a new album under the old name and do that style again.
That's pretty cool.
That's so cool. So Lamb of God is one of those bands I really do respect in the metal scene. And I think back then, yeah, they were my favorite because in freshman year, that's when I saw them on the Sacrament tour.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I saw people like fighting at a metal show.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God.
Is this what this is?
And like the wall of death and all this.
Yeah.
All this crazy stuff that would happen at Lamb of God shows, that the music was just so perfect. The lights were perfect. This was my first real concert, I think.
That's what I was going to ask. Actually, next question. So I'm glad you did that.
Well, it wasn't my first real concert, but that's the first
metal show.
Yeah, metal show. My first real concert was like Green Day and My Chemical Romance at the Quest Center.
Hey.
And I was like, hey, it wasn't bad. I'll say they put on a good show, but it was just such a weird first show, you know?
Yeah. I mean, for me, again, growing up with my dad playing in bands and being that way, I saw plenty of smaller gigs that we were allowed to go to because I was young, you know, like little. But
see, you're lucky, man. I tried to go to Slipknot in eighth grade. My parents are like, didn't someone die at their show?
I'm yes.
Like, I don't know.
That's the point.
Yeah, but people die at shows all the time. It's not the band's fault. Usually they're trying to break it up and be like, hey, what the hell's going on in there? You know,
right.
Like 9 times out of 10, it's not Astroworld. You know, like, I'm sorry, yeah, but like people think that like back then when we were kids, that's what everyone assumed metal shows were. They're like, you're going to get hurt. It's like, if I get hurt, it's probably my fault.
Yeah.
like it's, and that's the same. I feel like with most music stuff is like, if you get hurt, it's probably your fault.
My first eye opener because my first big metal show was Slipknot at the same like CHI Center.
I wish I could have gone. Oh yeah, that's right.
That was freshman year.
Okay, yeah, that's not when we went. That was
no. That would have been so freshman year was like 2007. They were on some tour with can't remember the name of the tour, but they were with Coheed and Cambria,
which
is hilarious because
that is hilarious.
People were like, why Good Eye Sniper with Slipknot?
Good Eye Sniper.
To their credit, all they did was play like they did a couple like tracks like that at the end after they earned everyone's respect and they knew what they were doing.
That's awesome. They played Welcome Home,
Trivium.
Ooh.
It was Coheed and Cambria, then Trivium, then Slipknot.
Ooh.
And to start that show, like they came out and they just basically played a whole bunch of their deep tracks that were all like really heavy.
Nice.
Really fast, really loud. Almost closer to like the number 12 Looks Like You, where it's just crazy mass
speed. Yeah, just like
weird. And then they earned respect and then played some of their bigger things and everyone was into it by then. But
so you're telling me that both of our first metal shows had Trivium at them.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
Trivium
fucking mine was
rules.
Like, mine was like Gojira, which was amazing. It was right when From Mars to Cyrus came out, that album. And it was my favorite Gojira album ever. Trivium, Lamb of God, and then...
it's been a while.
Starts with an A, and it's a couple words. And I want to keep saying Ashes of the Wake. That's a Lamb of God album, but it's not. It's like something, All That Remains.
Oh, yeah. Guitar Hero.
It was all those bands at that show. So that's crazy that Trivium was at both of those shows. And then we also went to a Slipknot show at that stadium later in life.
Yeah, years later, but also
metal,
only a couple years ago.
Selling you.
And that was amazing. I mean, the very first show that I saw, though, that like really was like, hey, be careful. We're actually letting you go with one of your friends.
Yeah.
You'd not going with any. It was the Dropkick Murphys when it used to, before the Admiral was the Admiral. It was Sokol. And it was upstairs. And I was, like 14.
Some Irish punk.
And that blew my mind because, again, like you were saying, it's like the first time where you're really subject to something like that where adults, they're just
and the crowd is like fucking part of the show,
singing the whole songs the whole time, right back at them, slam dancing, running around in circles, and that really opened. And that was honestly after that, I was in.
Yeah,
like I knew immediately, regardless of what style, whether it's punk, whether it's heavy, whether it's small, whether it's big, this is where I want to be.
Yeah.
Like, this is the kind of music I want to play. This is the kind of shit I want to do. And it stuck with me because then after that, I mean, I'm a little bit lackluster when it comes to actually seeing live shows because I've been playing so many on my own and sometimes you double book or you're out of town.
We're also
and
getting older
stuff,
and we're just tired by 9 p.m.
Yeah, but even even during high school and college, I mean, like, I wish I would have went and saw some more shows to have a little bit more of like a repertoire under my belt, but I've seen plenty. I've done plenty. It's just, like those two things really opened my eyes to like what this world is.
Yeah.
And of course we're going to open this up once we actually get like, this is our trailer episode. Once we open this up, we'd love to get some community feedback. Fuck. Tell us what your favorite, like your, not your favorite, your first show.
Yeah.
Like,
what's your first metal show
that opened your eyes
and
to
not
making
like,
you want to see
and not
this?
Like, hey, I saw this local metal band at a bar. No, I want to know what the first like tour metal show at a venue was for you.
A lot of folks thought it was Vans Warped Tour, you know?
Probably. It could have been a music festival. It might have been your local like bar/venue that's like a bigger venue. I'm not talking like a mom and pop dive bar. I want to know what your first real metal show was. So reach out to us. We do have an Instagram, Metal Massacre Podcast.
Yeah.
Follow us there. We'll have all updates. We have merch coming soon, which is just crazy to think about.
Again, shout out to Herdat. They're throwing their best foot forward behind us. And
they're
we're
pretty
get
metal
right back.
People. Yeah. I think real recognize real. They were like, oh, okay, we got some metal guys. And we're like, yeah, here's what we know. And they were like, okay. And I was like, I want to maybe reach out to people and school some people on like different tidbits of metal history too.
Yeah.
Maybe we could have a whole episode down the line where we like go into the history of different metal genres.
That'd
I think that
sick.
Would be a really beneficial thing for people that maybe just don't know. Because there's so much stuff out there, dude. So much stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like, granted, and that the greatest thing about metal is that it's worldwide.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, there's, you know, every genre has some pop artists worldwide, and you know, yeah. like, there's big stuff everywhere. But one of the things I think is kind of unique to heavy music like that is that you could go to Russia, you can go across yeah. Europe, especially in Europe.
Oh, there's a, like in Norway, the origin of black metal.
Yeah. Every country, every continent has some sort of form of heavy, loud, angry, but angry in the way of, I'm just trying to let this out in your face music. And then yeah. I think that, you know, a lot of stuff is pretty cultural, country to country, space to space, even in like in different parts of the United States alone. Mm-hmm. There's, if you go up to like New England, yeah, they're playing East Coast hardcore. They're playing beatdown music like Trapped Under Ice.
Yeah.
But if you go to the South, you're going to get stuff like Gideon.
Yeah.
That are really heavy, slow, downbeat music, but it's got that southern yeah, twang to it, and so on and so
that's
forth.
That's such a good point, because yeah, different countries have different versions of metal, but then also America's states have different versions of metal, like Cannibal Corpse in Florida with death metal.
Yeah, and they obviously were one of the thrashers from the West Coast.
They were
Coast.
One of like the biggest bands to solidify the sound of death metal.
Absolutely.
And so around the like 80s, 90s, you get a lot of bands that were kind of like spinoffs of the sound of Cannibal Corpse.
Imitation is a form of flattery. I mean,
they got so big, they were in Ace Ventura, yeah. you know, like
never forget.
But like a lot of people don't know that there was like a whole beef between the Florida death metal crowd and the Norwegian black metal crowd. And I feel like things like that would be really cool to get into, because at certain points in history, these were in the community as big a beefs as like the East and West beef with hip hop.
Right,
like
absolutely.
These things were genre defining, and they were responsible for a lot of things that each band did.
West Coast, Best Coast.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say.
Well, I have no opinion on that.
Now here we go.
I love black metal. Okay. I love black metal. I love death metal. I'm such in a bind in that debate.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think like it'd be cool to have an episode where we go into stuff like that, and we kind of talk about like maybe our favorite artists and like their history and how they started. So join us on this crazy metal massacre. I've been your host, Lucian the Weirdo with a Beardo. With me, Dustin Peters, the man with the magic fingers on the bass.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, yeah. I gotta say it. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Guys, stay tuned. We got a lot coming for you. The metal massacre is in full effect.
A Huda Media Production.